Good morning, Ram. You're coming from Sustainable Livelihood Institute, which is near to Irumbai. Can you tell us what is that?
Yeah, Sustainable Livelihood Institute is a joint venture between the Rural Development Department of Government of Tamil Nadu, the department specifically responsible for rural livelihoods, and Auroville. The government proposed to Auroville to create a Sustainable Livelihood Institute because the government felt that their own rural livelihood programs can do with some of the solutions and processes that have been developed in Auroville towards pushing the programs towards sustainability. So it is an institute that has been created not merely to provide skill or knowledge-based capacity building for the beneficiaries of the government program, which is rural communities across Tamil Nadu, but also to provide a step-by-step or gradual move even within the department's own programs towards sustainability, because they had come to recognize that perhaps going for long-term sustainability at this point in time is something that is important for them as well. So they have given us the mandate to not only work with the communities but also with the government officials, starting from the highest level of the official at the district level of the project directors and project officers, all the way down to the cluster level facilitators at the village level, who are the front end carriers of livelihood message from the government within the community.
So this project is going on in all the rural areas or only this one?
This particular project is targeting entire Tamil Nadu state, which means all the districts of Tamil Nadu. We have about 32 districts in the state. So, except Chennai and Coimbatore, almost all of them are considered rural. And Tamil Nadu is divided into the 7 agroclimatic zones. And each one has got its own unique characteristic, both in terms of ecology, agriculture. So, the government has proposed to us to work with the rural community across the state. However, in the first few batches, in the first few months that we are working, we are largely working with the area around us, or the agroclimatic zone around Auroville, which consists of about 5 or 6 districts. So in the last 2 months, we have been providing capacity building programs for people in this area, primarily concentrating on agriculture and livestock. And how to work with these two areas of sustainability from agriculture and livestock point of view.
So if I understood correct, there are probably 7 sustainable livelihood institutes in Tamil Nadu?
No, there are 7 zones in
seven
Tamil
zones.
Nadu.
Only this one got...
This is the first one the government has created. Okay. In an ideal situation, they probably would go for one in each zone. And we would also like to see many more such institutes come up. But again, this is the first time for the government. There is no sustainable livelihood institute in all of South Asia and Southeast Asia.
This is the first time
something like this is being done. And it is very unique even for India, because... whereas other state governments do work with civil society institutions, other agencies in a project mode, this is the first time where a government has created an institution in partnership with another agency. Auroville could be called a quasi-government agency from a foundation point of view, or as an international community. But here is a government coming to Auroville community and saying, can we tie up together, because there is something that we think we can learn together from you, from your experience and insights.
So basically Auroville provides the experiences in certain things, yeah?
Yes, Auroville is providing the training in their fields, because what has been understood is that the campus would be just a place to host this institution, whereas all of Auroville will be the learning area. So for instance, yesterday and today we have farmers from about 7 districts of Tamil Nadu, primarily poor agricultural farmers, women particularly, and they have been going to, yesterday they were in Annapurna and Pebble Garden, and I was just talking to them yesterday evening. It was amazing. One lady said, you know, walking around and listening to and what I saw in Pebble Garden was magic. She said, you know, we have got lands much better than what they had. If they could do that, if they could do that with that land, we could do much better. We have been destroying our soil, whereas they have regenerated life in the soil. looking at them was the most inspiring thing for us. We want to go back and ensure that we do much better than even they have done here. Now, these are the inspiration that really provides us a lot of impetus, and as a team also, because it's not merely a cerebral activity the government is coming to Oroville for.
Mm-hmm.
And it is often said, even when we sit with meetings with the government, that they say, look, we are not coming to you because you can download some gyan on us. They say that we come to you because there is inspiration, because one of the, in fact, we even, when we talk about the uniqueness of the SLA methodology, we talk about practitioners being teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, and it doesn't mean necessarily only Orovillians, it's also people who have been associated with Oroville for a long time, including somebody like Mr. Vivekananda from Seva, who was here teaching ethno-veterinary practices or herbal medication for livestock last month. And he's been working with Joseph Pichandikulam for a long time. And Joseph has been published, one of his books has been published by Pichandikulam.
Yeah.
And they have created this unique herbal local remedies to quickly take care of issues with cattle. And it is one of our popular programs.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, the one on agriculture, we see fantastic responses from the community. And this inspiration and this capacity to experience what is being spoken of in a classroom session or in a interaction is what the government is seeking from SLI.
So if I understood correct, you have people coming from all seven districts to have a classes in different topics, and then they go also to practice in basically more like mostly in Oroville, right?
Yes,
on the
they
farms,
go and learn
communities.
From farming. From we have identified about 8 areas in which they can learn with Oroville. This includes agriculture, eco-friendly construction and architecture. It is herbal medication for livestock, for humans. It is involving food and food processing. It involves cottage industries, that there are several of them. In fact, one of the most popular programs that we have promoted is clinic for workshop, clinic for rural enterprises. We call it
clinic.
A clinic. Yeah. Basically, what we do is government gives annual loans for entrepreneurs in rural parts.
Mm-hmm.
And often, because these are target specific, the loan is given to the community to create an enterprise. And after that, there isn't much time or energy within the government system to follow up, because they are running behind the next year's target of providing loans. This was pointed out as one of the challenges when we had a built-up meeting, when we were doing the preparatory work on SLA. And so we designed a program which we call the Clinic for Rural Enterprise, where people who have started communities, village women who have started an enterprise, they come with their challenges. They started an enterprise, they took a loan from government, they are unable to repay, they are stuck, they don't know what to do. And they don't know whom to go for help. So every month we have this clinic in which these women come with their challenges from all these districts. And we have a panel of experts drawn from several domains in Oroville who and try to understand what these women are going through and give them a different perspective of looking at their own businesses and thereby help them solve their problems, and in the process slowly nudge them and guide them towards sustainability. In fact, we call it gentle move towards sustainability, because often people have their own realities, their own various factors that govern their enterprises. For all of them, we don't have solutions. So we look at their own challenges and change the perspective and give them a different perspective to look at their own businesses. And in fact, with the government, this program has found a lot of welcome. They have said this could really help us, because we often, like last year, I think the government provided loans for close to about just to give a magnitude of what this challenge is, about 600 odd enterprises in rural parts were given a loan upward of 20 lakhs each, which means the volume of or the
That's
magnitude
probably
the
money.
Of money that is involved in these loans is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really knows how these enterprises have really managed.
The blossom did not. Yeah.
Yes. So this is a very critical area in which we are intervening through this. So like this, we have identified in all about 8 different areas in which we could provide programs in Orwell.
Besides Pichandi Kulam Forest, which are the, let's say, services or units that are cooperating with you the most?
Pichandi Kulam is like one part of it. This is an all Orwell program. We have Earth Institute have been involved right from the beginning. They have been providing orientation and training. In fact, specifically last week when we met the Rural Development Secretary, he specified that the executive engineers of rural development who are in every district will also be sent here, primarily because he wanted them to understand earth architecture and the masonry process as well, and send their people for training. So the Earth Institute has been involved. We have had involvement from Annapurna, from Pebble Garden, several of the farm group members, and we have also had programs being done by Sunlit Future for the solar part of
it. For renewable energy.
We also have other institutions. Bamboo Center is also involved with some of our programs. And so there are several institutions, and our hope is eventually many more will be involved with this. We also have taken them to Nashalamo for food processing exposure trip. We have taken them there.
Charms and juices.
Yes, we also have taken some of them to Kofpu for looking at natural food. Yes, so there are several places we are looking at. Krishna has been, Solitude Farm has been also involved. We have taken some of the groups to him for doing
for
regular
permaculture.
Sessions. Yes.
That's very interesting. So, in practice, that looks like you have a classes, people come from 7 districts, and then they also have practical lessons. How many people participate, or how often do you have classes? Every week, every weekend?
Every week almost. Now, on an average, we have about 5 to 6 programs a month, and each program is anywhere between 2 to 4 days.
And with it attended with how many
attendance
people?
Of not more than 15 to 20. We are limiting it to that because several things have worked into this. One is our own capacity to handle more than that is right now limited. We have a small team that is managing the work here. Number two, we also realize that any quality learning cannot happen in very large groups.
It's hard if you
and it is very difficult, and we are promoting this individual attention as one of the key areas. Third, we also have said to the government that one, this has to be a repeat learning process. It's not a one-time exposure. They all come on a 2-day excursion to Orwell, go back, and they forget what they have
excitement
learned.
In a few months, excitement is out,
yes.
And you are on the same path.
So the government has agreed on this, and it has said that whoever comes will come repeatedly because it has to be internalized and then practiced in their own area. Lastly, we have also said that there will be a follow-up from our end continuously after they leave from here. So we have people calling them up after 2 days after they have gone to find out what is it that they are doing in the field. And the government also has on their own, in fact, placed officers now. And they have asked us to submit to them what should be the follow-up. When people come and go back into their field, what is the kind of follow-up and what is the kind of a nurturing and support that these people need to be provided so that the learning that has been and they have derived
here
from Orwell is benefiting them in the field as well. So this, these are issues that we have negotiated for over, I think, the last 2 years of emerging this institute.
Oh, that's going on for 2 years already.
Well, the negotiation has gone for 2 years.
Okay.
We had a very small inauguration in March. So it is since late March that the institute itself is functional now.
So these 15, 20 people who come from the villages, from different districts, you also provide for them rooms and food?
Yes, accommodation, food, everything.
That institute is located where?
Currently, the institute is located in Irum, in Kotakarai. And the same house that used to have a harvest earlier, Orwell Water Service used to be based out of there. Now the same place has been taken by the Livelihood Institute. It is based and working out of there. Eventually, the proposal is to have a larger campus on its own, which the government has agreed to fund, create, That will come up on the other side of Urumbai, closer to the highway.
Okay. But you are also connected with the Village Action Group?
Yes, Village Action Group is also closely involved in this process. Mm-hmm. Several of Village Action Group examples and the earlier project implemented by Village Action Group and Pishandikulam jointly called Sustainable Enterprise Development in the Bioregion. Many of the examples that have emerged from the good practices of both Pishandikulam and Village Action have resulted in the creation of this institute, because it is when visiting some of these enterprises that the government recognizes that there is more to learn from this that we can also directly benefit from in our programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that is based on that this entire dialogue with the government started, and they said, can we create a joint institute together? So yes, Village Action people are also participating. They are sharing their experiences, their learning as part of the...
Because they're pretty established. They got their own classrooms in Urumbai.
That's true.
They're running quite successful programs already years.
That's true.
Yeah. Which one of the classes was the biggest success up to now in those few months?
Till now, like I said, we have not expanded into all the areas we wanted to. I mean, like I said, we have 8 broad categories in which we have divided the programs. Till now, we have only been able to cover about 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
But almost each one of the program, in fact, the feedback has been quite amazing, to say the least. In fact, day before yesterday, the first day of the agricultural program, late evening at Pichandikulam, we finished the program. None of the women got up from their seats, and they're just sitting and listening. And then one of them said, you know, I have attended several programs, and I have been to several training programs in the last 5 years. I have been part of this women's group movement, but I have never felt that sense of honest engagement that I've seen here.
Mm-hmm.
Like anywhere, nowhere else. And there was a spontaneous applause at the end of the day. Suddenly one of the women said, I think we should give a round of applause for a wonderful day today. And one of them said, look, this is heaven for us. This is amazing. Because many of these women farmers who come here have never stepped out for anything. Their normal government training is something that happens in the proximity of their village, which is like half a day, 1 day programs.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are taken away from their place for 2 days. They step out and come somewhere.
It's different, yeah.
It's different, and there are practitioners with whom they are engaging. It's not theory at all. So I would say both the agriculture and livestock program have created phenomenal impact already, because it's not as though they come here and they experience something and they give us this feedback. We have got follow-up phone calls from them.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them go back to their villages and call us saying, look, I'm going to try this. Would you come to help me? We are going to do this cattle camp in our village. We are organizing it. Would you come and help us do this herbal remedies for our cattle?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of, so far the feedback has been very positive for us. And in fact, it was also reflected in the latest review meeting with the government. Because with the Rural Development Secretary, when we sat for discussion also, he mentioned it. He kind of said, we have got very positive response till now. And whatever programs we send, we realize that people are experiencing something completely different. And in fact, even with the government officials who came for our program, last time we team at the end of which, one guy's very senior government official was about to retire and who looked quite disinterested. On the first day, he got up and said, look, I think one thing I have recognized is all our programs are rather mental. We only work on the mental plane. We don't really give much emphasis on how we feel about it. What I have felt in Oroville, what I have seen, is there is a lot of passion behind what people are doing. And this makes a huge difference. And this gives inspiration for us to go back and do. And in fact, one of our first programs that we did in January this year, even before we formally launched the program, was for officials from Odisha state.
Mm-hmm.
They had heard of this SLI being created, and they said, can we send our officials? They were here, and when they returned, their senior officer had a day-long review with them. As soon as they went back to Bhubaneswar, they did a day-long review.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sent a one-line text message. She said, vision transformed.
That's really positive.
That is a very positive message. You know? And it was... it is this has been so far for us. There has hardly been any critical or negative remark till date. It has been very positive from each one of these programs. So that is so far. It's so good, I should say.
That's really good. It's just one idea which crossed my mind. All the classes are in Tamil, right? All the presentations are at least with
the community
Tamil
members.
Tamil
it is largely in Tamil. With the government officials, it is a mix of Tamil and English.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but the so-called experts from Oroville, some of them do speak Tamil.
Some of them don't. We have enough village
translators,
youth who are part of this whole exercise now, who are coming in as translators, interpreters, local village youth. Some of them we have employed, some of them are volunteering. So they are coming in as translators. Apart from that, with the government officials, when we do programs, it is they do understand English quite a bit, because English is an official language of the government, and they still,
more or less, yeah.
The reports are still in English and they're writing. So they do understand. Only with the community members, yes, there is a challenge, but I think there are enough people in Oroville who can also mix their English with Tamil. And once they get into hands-on doing things, I think the language barrier doesn't really, like when they go to Annapurna, and I have seen women from villages come and have talk to Thomas in Annapurna, and the language is not a big barrier.
No, because you see what is done and how you do it, yeah?
Yes.
That's a really practical thing. And for the end, since your title is chief, and to me maybe it's a cultural difference, but I'm really puzzled what that means. Your title is chief, yeah?
Oh, my own organization is called Samanvaya.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to... I'm chief is... Samanvaya in Sanskrit means harmony.
Uh-huh.
So the word we chose when I started my organization, through which I am associated with Oroville, and started the organization, we felt that makes a lot of sense to call harmony as the work we do, because that is what I do personally. Mm-hmm. I'm outside of Oroville, I'm consulting, harmonizing energies towards making social changes.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody calls themselves consultant or something. I just wanted to escape the clutches of cliché terms. Chief, for me, Chief Seattle talk has been an inspiration for long. And when we decided to start, we put Chief there. In fact, our early, my card reads Chief Samanvaya.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just heading.
So
the
Chief as after the American Indians?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I asked also a colleague, and we were a little bit puzzled where this one came from.
No, it's just that I used to keep the Chief Seattle saying somewhere, very prominent in my earlier karma of corporate life, and so people started calling me as Chief, and then that stuck, and we thought, fine, give a nomenclature, then you have to call yourself by some designation. So it doesn't matter, you do everything. So, but then because I head the institution, we just started, people started calling me Chief, and that stuck. So I decided that might do as well for me.
But in your personal life, you were anytime engaged practically with farming?
I do farming.
You do farm?
I have a farm up in the hills, in Kalrayan Hills. I grow millets.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I can manage to step out of here, I run away to my farm. I was there this week also early.
Mm-hmm.
I grow about 8 types of millets. I'm doing organic farming. And I call myself still an intern, because I have a colleague who quit corporate life and has been deeply into agriculture for the past 8 years. He is there full time. He does mm-hmm. agriculture more often than I do. As you know, agriculture, farming is a full-time activity.
Yes, it is.
I'm a part-timer. I go and I learn when I'm there. And I am part of a small network of people who have been working on self-reliant economy in rural parts.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us write in Tamil regularly. In the last 4 years, we've been bringing out a magazine that reaches out today to over 1,000 people across Tamil Nadu, which emphasizes local economy and self-reliance, called Tatcharbu, or we call it Thalanmai. Thalanmai means self-reliant agriculture. It's promoting organic farming. I also have, with several colleagues, we've been involved in creating a network called Safe Food Alliance, which is the largest network of organic farming practitioners, campaigners, activists across Tamil Nadu. It is an online network that is available. So I'm part of Samanvaya as a consulting firm, has been 16, 17 years old now, and been working with the social sector largely. So outside of Oroville, I wear these other hats. But I intend to someday step out of all this and be a full-time farmer.
Since you started with millet, I think the local name is Varagu, right?
Yeah, there are several. Varagu, Kambu, Samai, Tinai.
They're all millets?
They're all millets. They're all, we call them minor, small millets, minor millets.
So I believe that you're also passionate to keep the old type of grains and, of course, not genetically modified, right?
Yes. The local seeds, you know, is one of the biggest challenges today is the control of food by the corporate sector. It is being fought at a global level. It is also being fought in several levels. And the at the local level, we have the fast disappearing of our biodiversity, particularly in our crops. Several levels of conservation, because I talk from an angle of constructive work, and at the constructive work level, conservation of the biodiversity without compromising on the livelihood prerogatives of the rural community is a big challenge. So on that front, we are working with several local seed variety conservers, people who are conserving them, people who are preserving them. And GM basically is bad science. I mean, genetic modification is both as a science and as a technology, it is terrible, and everybody knows it. It has only been promoted through corporate greed and for meeting corporate ends. There is no other reason for it. And we know that it is being promoted in several ways through one of the largest PR exercises and big funding campaigns, well-funded. And yes, we have... I have written on this quite extensively in the last, I think, 15 years now. And there is a book on the entire BT Brinjal, the politics of BT Brinjal, that I have written, called Bangan Swaraj. Bangan means Brinjal in Hindi. And I have been writing on the GM issue since about 1999, actively online, protesting and campaigning against the introduction of GM crops and GM seeds in India. And this is one book that has been published. I've also been interacting with several institutions of different ethical bases to look at, to create a dialogue around the ethics of GM technology, because the GM technology, unfortunately, the debates around GM in India have been reduced to mere technocrats, as so the larger society. And those who provide the ethics or other forms of inputs in society do not have anything to do with this issue at all. Whereas in Europe and other parts of the world, ethical debate around biotechnology has been quite strong.